In this episode of Balancing the Christian Life, we talk to the devotional doctors about how our physical bodies affect our spiritual lives. Welcome to Balancing the Christian Life. I'm Dr. Kenny Embry. We'll talk about how to be better Christians and people in the digital age. Let's go. Okay, go with me on this. I want you to take a deep, long breath. Yes, I know that's a weird thing to ask for in a Christian podcast, but just humor me. Breathe in. Breathe out. Now take another one. And one more. How do you feel? If you actually tried this instead of just listening to me breathe into a microphone, I think you'll probably agree. Something changed. You may be a little calmer. You may be a little more focused. You may be more aware of your breath or how you breathe. You know you've been breathing your whole life, but until you start focusing on it, you probably just take it for granted. I mean, we take approximately 20,000 breaths in a day, but I just ask you to focus on 3. What happens to us physically changes and affects everything about us. Yet in Christianity, we often focus all of our attention on the spirit without thinking about the body that houses it. This week, I'm talking to J.D. Souter, who has his doctorate in physical therapy, and Brian Nash, who has his doctorate. They also have their own podcast, Devotional Doctors. I start out our conversation by asking Brian what they're trying to accomplish with their podcast.
Well, I mean, what we talk about a lot on our podcast is the importance of the body, the human body, and the role of the body within our faith. In a lot of circles, there's been this stark separation between body and soul. One is good and the other's bad. We've kind of been on a little project, I guess, to try to put those back together in a holistic sort of way and to think and talk about the benefits of holistic spirituality and what that looks like.
In my practice as a physical therapist and dealing so much with the health of the body, that's really opened my eyes to how much the scriptures talk about our bodies. It uses the metaphor of the body to teach us about the church, to teach us about sin, to teach us about healthy, whole living, and really tapping into that. As Brian mentioned, you know, there's a lot of ideas that the body is an inherently bad thing or an inherently wicked thing, or that the things we do in the body don't matter. What is really me is this ethereal spirit that I'm just kind of encased in a shell, and the shell is going to be done away with, so it doesn't matter at all what I do with my shell, with my body.
Right. But
I don't think that the scriptures support that kind of an idea. You know, certainly we will all die, but what we do with our bodies, how we live in the flesh, does matter and has important spiritual meaning behind it.
I think what you're kind of tapping into is that idea that the same creator who created our soul also created our body. He didn't make a mistake with one of those, that the body was designed by God with intention. Barry Britinell, a friend of mine, basically talks about, if you want to understand weather, start thinking about it as God's weather, that these physical sciences are all systems designed by God to illustrate something that is more spiritual. Is that basically the same perspective you guys are taking?
Yeah, absolutely. That God has designed the body to function a certain way and really to point us and orient us toward Him.
Well, and it's not a new problem either. This goes back to the earliest days of the first century church, wrestled with a lot of these issues. The idea of what does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to have a body? And you have some very more extreme kind of ideas that just can't wrap their minds around that maybe this body that God made, this overall creation that God made, is actually a good thing.
There are two schools of thought when it comes to how is a Christian going to be able to deal with the world? Are we going to try and redeem the world? Or are we going to try and just wait out the clock? We're just all waiting for the resurrection because this is all trash anyway. So let's just get through it. Let's white knuckle our way through life so that we can get to the real life that comes afterwards. Do you see that as comparable to the way you guys see the use of the body and the spirit?
Yeah, I think sometimes we get this idea that heaven is this, you know, that I'm going to go to heaven as this disembodied, ethereal spirit, rather than root it in the resurrection. If the point is to get rid of bodies altogether, what's the point of a resurrection? What is a resurrection, right?
Right.
The way the scriptures present resurrection as central to the Christian worldview, we will be resurrected. And Brian mentioned earlier the idea of an incarnate God, that God came in the person of Jesus. And how do we recognize that God lives in us?
Practically speaking, how does that change the way we walk as Christians? Or how does that change the way that we act as Christians?
Well, I think one of the ways that it can change that, or it can help us, is in how we think about worship. In some circles, worship has been thought of as a very almost immaterial kind of a thing, or a quote, spiritual thing, meaning that we don't involve the body in any way. And when you really stop and think about it and begin to really, you know, study and reflect on that, what worship actually is the bodily engagement with God. Even something like a prayer. In most of our churches, we're not very bodily engaged, or at least we don't think of ourselves as being. But even something like bowing the head, or in previous generations, somebody would get down on a knee. Even in scripture, we read about somebody lifting up hands, lying down on the ground.
Yeah.
And these are bodily postures that you would use to come before a king. You think about baptism. Baptism is an incredibly embodied experience. And those of us who have a high view of baptism, you know, this is what we're trying to say, is that it's not just I'm going to, in my brain, think about something, but that with my body, I'm going to engage in the story of God who came to live among us in a body. And so I think it helps us from the standpoint of worship. You know, when we sing, we're using the voice. I think that you could make the case that what the pulpit is was an attempt to cover up the body, that all you're going to see is this talking head. And I think there's a case to be made that there was a thought that we're these, as one writer has said, we're brains on a stick. You know, that's all we are. And we can really look down upon the body, fail to appreciate the body and the role of it. Even something like reading scripture. You know, if you read scripture, you're using your eyes. If you listen to it being read, you're using your ears. We worship God with these things.
And the idea, as you were talking about, the idea of preaching and sharing the good news, building up one another, talking about God. If we only view the preacher as this disembodied head or disembodied voice, or we think of ourselves in that way. Really, when you go to the scriptures and you see, say, the Old Testament prophets, it wasn't just a disembodied voice reciting words. There's a bodily aspect. You have all the prophetic sign acts in the Old Testament, these physical manifestations that went along with the message of the prophets, and even Jesus. When we think of Jesus as just sage words, just someone dispensing wisdom, rather than the participation, that he's talking with his friends and his apostles as they are walking together on the road.
Yeah.
Or he'll pull one of them aside, or one of them will pull him aside, around the table at the Last Supper, and they're leaning on one another. And Jesus dispensed wisdom in that way, not just as a floating head, but as a body participating with those around him.
Well, and then thinking about the healings in the Gospels, that Jesus had compassion on people. He wanted to make them whole because there was something about wholeness that was related to the bigger idea of what salvation means. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about how do we then view other people? And I think that's where it gets very practical in thinking about helping others, caring for others, And I think that that circles back around. When we think about something like visiting the sick, you know, helping those who are on difficult times, it goes back to a view of the body. We need to engage in these things, in these Christian practices, because it's just fundamental to who we are as Christians.
There's a criticism that I have with, quite frankly, a lot of the ways that we practice religion. It seems like our answer to almost everything is another Bible study. Well, we need to teach more people. Well, let's have a Bible study about how to teach more people. We need to help other people. Let's have a Bible study about how to tell people. It seems like our knee-jerk reaction is, well, let's do another Bible study about that. It seems to me that Jesus, and really all the apostles and all the real disciples, somebody needs help, go out, help them. Some of the most spiritual acts I've ever seen are guys, when they find out that my family is moving, get in their truck, take my couch, and take it to the next place we're moving to. And that is every bit as much worship, and in some ways, in my opinion, more worship than sitting down and listening to another sermon or attending another Bible study that basically says, hey, you know, when somebody's in need, go out and help them. That we often talk too much about doing something without actually doing something. And I think one of the things that you guys are kind of stumbling on there, and I don't think it's stumbling, I think this is very intentional. We love to separate things out from, we're going to think about this for a long time versus, why don't we just try and do some of this stuff?
Yeah, yeah. And we make that division of theory and practice, or of physical and spiritual. Well, spiritual acts are the Sunday morning worship service. And everything else that you do is physical stuff that isn't as important.
Right.
Caring for the needy and for widows. Well, that's not really a spiritual discipline. No, it's absolutely a spiritual discipline. We can't say that, oh, you know, that's only an unimportant physical thing that has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, part of, you know, you go through the book of Acts, part of the gospel, certainly Christ came to save us all, but he came to save all of us entirely as whole people. And you see the church taking care of one another as part of that, not as a separate thing. That idea that we make a distinction, make a separation between body and spirit or body and soul, and then we treat them very differently. I think we've gone amiss there. And really, when we can reintegrate them, as you said, you know, sometimes moving a couch can be a very deeply connecting, meaningful spiritual experience that really taps back into what we see in the Bible, how Jesus lived his life as considering the whole of human experience.
The writings of John really address this, maybe more so than some of the other writings of the New Testament. And one of the really fascinating things about the Gospel of John, given this likely background, the Gospel and the letters probably are addressing something related to these issues. And one of the really fascinating things in the Gospel of John is Jesus' resurrected body. When you think about Thomas and the questions he has, what does he want to see or do? Well, he wants to see the hands and the feet and the side. You know, Jesus is not this floating it. Jesus is in some resurrected bodily form. And the purpose of that really in the Gospel of John is to address this late first century controversy of, could God have come among us in a body? Was Jesus born in a human body? Was he baptized in a body? Did he die on the cross in a body? Was he resurrected in a body? That there's no way that that can happen, because that would just be a scandalous thing. That's the first century controversy. And all through the Gospel of John, even at the resurrection, Jesus has a body to say, you know, God came and lived among us in the form that we are.
I guess you're going to have to start looking at Paul, though. Paul keeps on telling these guys, you know, I wish I could talk to you guys like spiritual people, but you're not spiritual people. You guys are a bunch of carnal people. What is the point Paul's trying to make there? And why do you think we've probably taken that too far?
A lot of misunderstanding is steeped in the writings of Paul and his use of the word flesh. And what does he mean by flesh? certainly in Paul's writings, there is this distinction between this world and the world to come. There's a distinction between, you know, the things of this age and the, quote, you know, spiritual things. Mm-hmm. But when we start to unpack what does Paul mean by flesh, I think that's helpful. And really, you look at Romans, you look at Galatians, what the contrast is are you living life according to the Spirit of God? If you're not living life according to the Spirit of God, you're living more like Adam in the garden, and that's living according to the flesh, living according to your own selfish appetites. If you are living according to the Spirit of God, then you're living more like Christ. Are you living life in the body more like Adam did or more like Jesus did? And that really is what the big contrast is in the writings of Paul, and whether you have the Spirit of God or not. And when you think about that word spiritual, you know, we talk about, you know, spiritual things. Well, what word is in spiritual? It's spirit. And as Christians, that has to go back to the idea of the Holy Spirit, that we are those who live according to the Spirit, that live according to the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. you know, not according to, you know, the spirit of this age kind of a thing.
Yeah, and even as we consider the Spirit, what kind of a spirit we live according to, it's a fascinating dive that both in Hebrew and in Greek, that word spirit is connected to breath. Like, how do we breathe? What is filling us with life? Are we only being filled with life only according to our physical being? No, I don't think that's the direction we need to take the pendulum. I would say that the things we do in the flesh matter. Am I only a carnal being? No. But I am, at least in part, as part of who I am, in this body. And the things that I do with my body matter, as we've already talked about, whether it's acts of worship or acts of service or how I interact within my body with those around me, those things matter. The body is not a wicked thing.
In the gospel, it says, God so loved the world. In the letters, it says, don't love the world. So what are we supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
Well, it would seem that world is used in different ways. It can refer to the good creation that Christ has come into in order to redeem and save, or it can refer to the sinful, broken world that surrounds us.
Yeah.
And so there's a way that we can say that we're to love the world without loving the world. And I think a lot of these words and, you know, language can take that sort of nuanced meaning. So something like carnal, are we talking about the world that God so loved or the world that we're supposed to stay away from? Or even something like physical. You know, sometimes when people use that language, what they're trying to express is the idea in the letter of John that, you know, don't love the world. Don't fall in love with sin and brokenness. What we're to be moving toward is, you know, redemption, restoration, wholeness.
I think one of the things that the biblical writers are trying to make the point of is the body is a great servant, but it is a terrible master. There's a right relationship there, and there's one that is extremely destructive. Look, if we looked at our bodies and said, anything that this body needs, I'm just going to go do. But here's the thing. There are things where I am willing to sacrifice parts of my body for my relationships. I mean, let's face it, the guys who are helping me pick up a couch, they're going to feel that tomorrow. But the thing is, thank God they're doing that. They are stretching some muscles. They are doing something with their bodies that's helping me. And the body at that point has become a servant to the Spirit of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think circling back around to your question about Paul's writings, I mean, there is an aspect of some of those writings where the idea is being expressed that we do have these desires in the flesh, and there's ways to let those desires be a master over us that would be destructive. It would be destructive to our lives and to the lives of others. It's not that the desires are necessarily inherently bad. You take something like sexual desire.
Yeah.
We've been talking about sexuality and the body on our podcast recently. Mm-hmm. You know, those desires can be very God glorifying, or it can be very destructive to your own self and to the lives of other people, depending on what you do with the body.
I think you're exactly right. Left to our own devices, if we were just going to obey the impulses of our bodies, there are problems there. But the body is a great servant. Jesus sacrificed his body for us.
I can't count how many times I've heard in a prayer, when someone is sick, when someone is in the hospital.
Yeah.
Lord, please be with the doctors and the nurses. Bless their hands.
Yeah.
Who are ministering to the sick. To minister is not just to stand in front of a church congregation for 25 minutes at a select time on a Sunday morning. To minister is to serve.
Yeah.
To help. And we are all called to minister with our bodies. How can I serve God or serve someone else without my body? We can't do that.
And so
I think really how we can help others, how we can build up the church, how we can glorify God with our bodies, as you said, using our bodies to serve rather than solely serving my body, I think is really, really at the heart of what we're trying to get at.
Well, and even something like if I'm writing an article, my fingers are typing on the computer.
Yeah.
My eyes are seeing it, and I'm then getting this feedback, and then hitting backspace or there's actually been studies of this, even at sort of a philosophical level, of the bodily engagement of something like that, and I think some people can start to say, well, I don't have, I sit in front of a computer all day. I don't use my body to glorify God. Well, absolutely you are. You're typing on a keyboard is a bodily, your body is engaged fully in that activity.
You call this a holistic approach. What does it mean to have a holistic approach to Christianity?
Well, I mean, I think if you stop and look at that word in our English language, it's got the same root as our word for holy, H-O-L-Y, which is really the idea of being whole, W-H-O-L-E, whole. Again, you see the H-O-L there. Mm-hmm. And that's really, salvation is about being holistic. And I think that in our day and age, we have missed out on that. We've missed out on something that the early church was very much about, was holistic living. We don't compartmentalize our lives into, like we've already talked about, we've got this spiritual part over here. We've got, these other things that are completely unrelated to this spiritual thing that we do, almost like our Christian life is some sort of a hobby. It's just kind of this thing that we do, but rather it is who we are. And everything else that we do flows out of that. For me, that's how I think about holistic living. We aim to be holy people, which then means that our whole life is flowing out of that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That we're connecting our spiritual self with our mental and emotional and physical wholeness, our well-being, that we are understanding ourselves in that way and not putting our Christianity only into a little bucket of who we are, that our life as Christians is all-encompassing, and it's going to shape and be shaped by how we think and how we feel and how we move in this world. And I think the connecting into that of how holistically we understand our faith as lived out, I think is really important.
The language of the New Testament picks up on this. If you sometimes will compare translations with a healing, with an occasion where Jesus heals somebody, you might have a translation that says your faith has made you well, or your faith has made you whole. Or it might read, you know, your faith has saved you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things are tapping into the same sort of an idea. Something about being in the presence of Christ, being healed by Christ, has made us whole. And those healings in the gospel are intended to then illustrate, you know, what Christ can do for all of us is that he makes us whole. He makes us well. He makes us whole. We've been saved. And those are not different ideas. That's mm-hmm. it's language trying to express a central core idea.
I end all my podcasts with be good and do good. What is good?
Good is living wholly with all of us, with all of us together and with all of myself. And that includes who I am within my body and within the body of Christ, and doing those things to bring glory to Christ as part of his body.
Well, my mind goes to what God pronounced to be good or very good, which was his creation. And we then can either lean into the goodness or we can lean into the brokenness. And I think it's a matter of which are we pursuing? Which of those paths are we on? Are we living out of the story of God's goodness or out of sin and brokenness?
If somebody wanted to get a hold of you guys, obviously they can listen to your podcast, The Devotional Doctors, but how could they get a hold of you if they wanted to?
Usually the best way is either through our Facebook page. You can search for Devotional Doctors, or you can send us an email at devotionaldoctors@gmail.com.
Well, guys, I really appreciate this. I think this has been fabulous. I hope people start listening to your podcast if they haven't already. And I hope you all just have a lot of success in this.
Well, thank you so much, Kenny. It really, really appreciate you having us on, and thank you so much. Really appreciate everything that you're doing in the kingdom, and pray that God blesses your efforts as well.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate the simple but important message they give us. God made us, body and soul, and neither one of those were a mistake. They see Christianity in a different way than I do, but they help shed light on how we may be overlooking an important part of creation God gave us. Thanks, guys, for what you're doing. You can visit them on their podcast, Devotional Doctors. They're doing some excellent work there, and I recommend you support their work. I also want to thank again those who are supporting the podcast, like George Sanchez, Kevin Hansen, Barbara McElwain, Craig Embry, Mark Russell, and my mother. I truly appreciate your encouragement. Next week on the podcast, we'll talk to my colleague, Dr. Stephen Oakey, about how culture affects our relationship with God. If you find these episodes helpful, please do me a favor and share them with your friends. So until next week, let's be good and do good.